Are you ready?
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Hey everyone, thank you all for tuning into Biz My Kids, the quarantine edition. My name is Nikki Watson, and I just want to let you know that our future is so bright. Why? You're about to see young scholars pour their heart out, want to know, what does it take to be successful? They'll be interviewing today's business leaders to learn how to be tomorrow's business leaders. They will break down those communication barriers between different generations. Check them out.
My name is Heaven Sutherland, and welcome back or to Business Minds Kids, where we train the kings and queens of the future. In today's episode, we are joined by Mr. Richard Makerson, and he will be interviewed by Brooke Smith, Elena Metcalf, and Omari Weary. Take it away, guys.
Being on this call today, throughout the crazy COVID-19 problems, but I had help with these questions by my auntie. You might know her. Her name is Marlene Metcalf.
Yes.
I think she
she was my mentor for the last 2 years in this program. Oh, wow.
How you came up with the name of your company and how it relates to your business, to your core business.
Sure. So company's name is Blue Fletch. The blue comes from a book that was written in the early 2000s called Blue Ocean Strategy. And it was about creating your own lane. So not following anybody else, not trying to copy something that's already out there, but how can you be different? How can you stand apart from the marketplace? The fletch are the feathers on the back of the arrow. So that's fletching. And so it stabilizes the arrow during flight when you shoot an arrow. So with us being consultants, we want to guide and stabilize our clients. Blue Ocean Strategy, Blue is a safe, friendly color. You see it a lot in other software companies when you think about the Facebook logo, Big Blue and IBM. And so that's how you come up with the name Blue Fletch and why it was important to us.
My second question is your company involved in the community and how?
We are involved in different STEM activities. So traditionally, we work in elementary schools to bring STEM activities, STEM kits, introduce young kids to these STEM, what's the word I'm looking for? Just concepts at a very early age. So it could be robotics, it can be math, geometry, science, even technology with some of the applications that we developed. Me personally, I sit on the board of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Metro Atlanta. So mentoring and giving back is very important to me as well. So we leverage the fact that we have great office space and unique culture to bring different kids in, whether that's through internships or just having them visit. But those are primarily the ways that we give back to the community.
Right, that's pretty amazing. My last question before I bring it to Omari is, what are the three key insights you can offer to scholars who have an interest in entrepreneurship?
These are probably three things that I didn't do such a great job in when thinking about entrepreneurship. But finding a good mentor is one. So somebody who is already running a company or who has run a company to get feedback, I think is amazing. Although, you know, when I was your age, I was cutting lawns and paint rooms and houses to get money. And I talked about the PlayStation piece. I started a trucking company, but where I really grew is when I worked at Accenture, when I worked for somebody else and I actually saw how to be a proper consultant. You know, that was humongous. And the third thing would be, you know, don't be afraid to try something. Growing up, I've done all types of things to earn income or earn clothes or shoes or video games or things that I needed to do. So it's okay to be creative with how, you know, you may do something for your auntie Marlene to get something that you need, you know, that's being an entrepreneur. Although you didn't get money, you got something that you needed or wanted. So I think it's okay to try things and try different things until you find out what you're uniquely gifted at doing that nobody else does better than you.
So my question for you is, I hear you have like a really large entrepreneurial spirit. You seem like a jack of a lot of trades, but you finally found the trade that you finally mastered. But you finally mastered one. So with the trade that you've mastered, it's been something that you've looked at for a while. How did you definitely settle on this? Because you had your trucking company, now you have Blue Fetch. How are you sure that this is the one that you want to stick with?
You have some really good questions, young man. I think the biggest thing for me to get over was knowing that it was okay to follow my passions. So, I mean, I'm an 80s baby. There wasn't a lot of talk around following your purpose or what you're passionate about. Usually that was shared in the context of being like an artist, like if you played a guitar or you wanted to be a singer or an actor. When you grew up and had a job or had a career, it was just that. It was something that you were relatively good at and people pushed you in a certain direction. So it definitely took me a while to build the confidence to know that if I'm passionate about technology, like and I'm going to do that for the rest of my life, or if I'm really passionate about technology, I was going to do something for the rest of my life, then why don't I just do that? And you know, if I make mistakes along the way, that's fine. And if I'm also passionate about something else like business, you know, it's okay to bring those two together. And it's okay if nobody else has done it. I don't have to wait on anybody else. I can see what works for me. And the fact that I have Blue Fletch means that we were able to change our focus and what we did over the years. To do what we're doing now, because what we're doing now in year 12 looks very different than what we were doing in year 8 and year 1.
My second question for you is about how is Blue Fetch separated from other companies of your nature?
That's great. So I have to look into the camera and say my mission statement without looking up over here. This is almost like too advanced for you kids, but like having a company, and when you think about Blue Ocean Strategy, is what's the niche? What's the thing that we can do as a company that would be hard for another company to replicate? So when we first started Blue Fletch, we were just general IT, and it's still true, right? Like we can build any software that you want. You want us to build you a game? We can build you a game. We want to build you a marketing app, we can build you a marketing app. If you needed to build TikTok, we could build TikTok for you. But that doesn't set me apart from another software company. But if I told you that I built solutions for enterprise employees, now that narrows the focus. Okay, what other companies are building just software just for employees? And if I told you that we have a big concentration of retail employees, that's another niche. So what other company is only building software for employees in retail? And so as we continue to niche down, when people have problems, it makes us stand out, because when Australia's biggest retailer had a problem, and they went to one of the partners, they said, go to Blue Fletch. And they were like, why Blue Fletch? It's like, oh, well, they did this for Home Depot, Floor & Decor, Academy Sports, JCPenney, Petco, Walgreens. You start naming all these other retailers, and they're like, okay, we get it. I think that's very important. And it's taken a number of years for us to settle down in that niche and find that niche. And it takes a lot of confidence to say you're not going to do something because you're going to focus on this thing that you're good at and just really have faith and believe that it's going to work out. And so that goes back to our mission statement. We want to help companies empower employees so they can better serve their customers. So if you walk into any of these retail companies and the store associates have technology they need to do their job, they're going to be able to give you better a better customer experience when you're in those stores.
Now, my third and final question for you is going to hit a bit closer to home. Due to the fact that you're from Augusta, a smaller space, not like Atlanta, and in a less urban environment, more of a rural city, how are you able to overcome every obstacle you face there? Because I don't feel as if, well, since you said you were an 80s baby, there weren't as many technological advancements, especially in Augusta. How were you able to foresee that? Was it through going to school? Was it just your own personal narrative that got you there?
So everybody in my immediate family is in medicine but me. So growing up, I just figured I'd be some type of doctor because of that. But the internet helped, right? The internet helped expand my world outside of my mom being a dentist, my dad's in respiratory therapist. Now my sister's a nurse, my brother's a dentist, and I'm the only one not in medicine. So the internet helped, just knowing that there are other people doing other things that I'm interested in out there. Going to school in Atlanta helped, right? So I went to Morehouse College. It's in Atlanta. Atlanta is a mecca in the South when you think about companies, culture, just being leader as far as in the country for certain things. And so that helped expand my world a bit more. And then when I did the trucking piece, that was back home. But when I wanted to get back in technology and I worked for Accenture, I was able to travel. So I was able to work outside of even Georgia. And so doing that helped expand my world, being in Washington, D.C. And because we're working for the Postal Service, there's post offices and facilities all over the United States. And so I was able to travel a bit too and work for people in different places. And so, you know, all of those things culminated and started to build upon themselves as I started to find myself as an individual and, you know, what I wanted to do from a career standpoint.
Well, thank you, Mr. Richard Makerson. The next questions are going to go on to Brooke Smith, if I'm correct.
Okay.
Hi, Mr. Makerson. I want to thank you for your time and thank you for being here with Business Minds. I'm going to get into my first question now. And my first question is, when you were first starting, what was your biggest fear?
So because I had tried so many things growing up, and the trucking company, although it was my first formal company, but it wasn't my first time trying an entrepreneurial goal, I did not necessarily have a fear of failing. My biggest fear came in was, am I ready for this? So we're doing this thing in Blue Flesh. We say we can build these things for these customers and we get a customer. And, you know, when I set up a meeting, am I going to be professional enough? Am I going to ask the right questions? What are they going to think of me? It was very much me being very insecure about where I was in my career. I was still in my mid-20s when we started Blue Fletch. And, you know, I left the safety of a big company. And so it was really just making sure fearful of not coming off professional, fearful of not being able to solve a problem. That was probably the biggest fear.
So now I'm going to get into my next question. And my next question, well, I hear that you're in a partnership. And my question is, what's the benefit or what is the motivation behind being in a partnership?
It's a great question. You probably saw on the website, you probably saw my partner, Brett. I think we have a picture up, but we started Blue Fledge, actually with, it was five of us. After the first month or so, one person left, and it was four partners in total for the first 7 or 8 years. But when I talked about finding that niche, you had two partners who were very passionate about something different. And then you had two partners that were really passionate about helping these big companies. And so Brett and I actually bought out the other two partners. And so it was just me and him. The benefit of having a partner and having somebody that you could trust is you spread out the risk, you spread out the work. Sometimes you can spread out the stress. There's often times where, you know, I might be down on, or frustrated, and, you know, he can get me out of the funk and vice versa. And, you know, you need to have somebody that you can trust. I mean, I think the big thing for me is that, you know, it's, you know, Brett is like family to me. You know, I can hang out with his brothers just as easy as I can hang out with him. And, you know, I know his whole entire family, but he's not like my brother. So, I mean, if I get frustrated with him, I'm not going to see him at Thanksgiving. So I think it's important that, you know, I don't have a family dynamic, which adds a different layer. But, you know, having a partner definitely is like having a buddy, especially when it's somebody you trust, and it can help push you, can help balance you, can help uplift you when you need it.
I know having a business can be a overwhelming feeling. Is it an overwhelming feeling sometimes?
It can be sometimes. We're just under 40 people. So those are 40 families that are all dependent on me to make the right decisions. So, you know, if they didn't trust me, or if they didn't trust the decisions that myself and Brett makes, then, you know, why are they working here? But, you know, I've been really exercising my entrepreneurial muscle since I was about your age. And so, you know, at this point, there's risk that you take, but there are things that you're comfortable in. And so, you know, we continue to evolve. We continue to push ourselves as an organization. I think I would be more disappointed in myself if I didn't try to do what I believe is possible and I settled for anything less. I think that would eat me up more than being overwhelmed for a few minutes, a few hours, or a few days even.
Okay, so before we get to the end of the episode and well wishes, I'm going to do a little recap. So just to recap, we interviewed Mr. Richard Makerson. All three of our interviewers pretty much asked him about what life was like and like what were some struggles and were some challenges and what would be some words of advice for young entrepreneurs and people who want to get into this business realm. Today's episode was really all about getting to know this type of business and exploring more options within the business realm. So thank you guys so much for watching, and let's get to well wishes.
My well wish goes out to all the people traveling at this time due to the fact that our state is shut down.
My well wish goes out to all the families who have people who... Ooh, my phone's at 1%, so I'm going to make this quick. My well wish goes out to all the people who have people in their family who are suffering from the coronavirus, because I am one of those families, and I'm not directly related to the person, but... they are close, like a family, a very close family friend. So my well wish goes out to all those people.
I want to give a well wish to Amari, because he traveled from Atlanta to Ohio. I think that's where he went. And I want to give a well wish to the people that are working. I want to give a well wish to my cousin, because he works at Delta and he still has to go to work every day. And I want to give a well wish to my cousins in Detroit because it's a lot of cases down there. I want to give a well wish to all the kids at Key Points Academy that I cannot see because of this crazy coronavirus. And I want to give a shout out to people that work at Georgia Power.
Okay. I want to give my well wish out to all the people that are traveling. I also want to give a well wish out to the people who are working from home or are currently not able to work right now due to the coronavirus. And all the people that are trapped in their houses.
Yes, I'd like to give a well wish to all the healthcare professionals that are keeping everybody healthy and are treating a lot of the patients that have the coronavirus. I also like to give a big well wish to the two parent working households who have kids at home who are still expected to work and deal with their kids. I only have one, so I couldn't imagine having multiple ones. And then I want to give a big well wish to Elena, Mari, Brooke, Heaven, and Janaya. I really wish I would have had somebody at your age to be able to sit me down and ask questions too, because I just had to figure it out. So, thank you for allowing me to share my story and asking all these great questions.
A jack of a lot of trades, but you finally found the trade that you finally mastered. So I noticed that it's taking you a long time to find. I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. I know this is very important, but my brother will not be quiet, and nobody will go get him. Thank you, finally. So,
thank you for watching Business Minds Kids, where we train the kings and queens of the future.